This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Let's go to another case. 16 children, ages 18 months to 18 years, were removed from a house in Hamden, Ohio on June 30th. Four adults, the parents and the grandparents, are each charged with 16 counts of endangering children, and all four have pled not guilty. The attorney general called what they saw pure evil. The defense says it's poverty. Joining me, Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, and has spent a career reading why people do what they do. And we welcome your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we break this down. Elizabeth Siders, your attorney, says this is a case of poverty and isolation, not evil. I don't know. I've seen a lot of folks in poverty, close up and somewhat isolation, and they ain't putting 16 kids in a single room packed with animals and feces. That's not poverty. They're saying evil requires malice. Well, choosing to do that and walking in that room every day and seeing children like that, that would be called malice. Poverty doesn't teach a family to move across counties and leave no school or medical records for 20 years. Where does this all break down? How much of it is just poverty, and how much of this is depraved behavior that was normalized?
Yeah, let's go poverty round first. Yeah. And having grown up with not much, not nearly as little as they had, but very not much, and knowing a lot of people living in poverty and doing a lot of studies on it, poverty can account for many things, but not these choices, because that's what the defense is going to want to say on this, but it's not the case at all, because the second part of that is what is really the cruel part and the really telling part is the isolation. Isolation's a choice, especially these days. And so then you ask yourself, what is the reason for the isolation? People isolate out of fear. Now, fear can be generated because of shame. It can be generated out of embarrassment, or you're trying to hide something. When you look at the circumstances, and I did the research on this, when you're hiding something at this level, when you have 16 kids, you have a conjoined twins that die, you have and remember, there's isolation where you don't want to interact with the world, and then you have confinement where everyone's put into a room that they're not allowed out in, and it's, again, like you said, feces, excrement, you name it. It was horrendous in there. The things that are typically hidden is abuse. Mm-hmm. And then the S abuse, probability, very, very high. There's a lot of different abuse that's going on here. That is the general, if we're looking at laws of probability and research and profiling, the reason for isolation in cases like this is to hide abuse because of fear of being exposed. And so poverty, to me, it doesn't play nearly as much as the hiding of abhorrent behavior, and it's all a very conscious choice.
I also wonder, you know, how much drugs played into this as well. Not that it's an excuse, but I saw somebody made the comment, like, if the Duggars were on meth. Yeah, probably. Yep. I mean, honestly, like, if that had somehow creeped into their ecosystem and, like, slowly took over all of them, it's probably about what you'd see here is something like this.
This is Duggars without IBLP.
Yeah, without IBLP and a lot of meth. It's like, just mix that in there and see how dramatically that ingredient changes the recipe for what we're seeing and like what the finished product is coming out of the oven from hell. Elizabeth Siders was 15, 7 months pregnant, when a judge and both sets of parents signed off on her marriage. 17 years later, she's charged with 16 counts. Obviously, there's the question, can a person be shaped into something and still be responsible for it? Let's start there.
Yeah, society says yes. The law says yes. And this is always that interesting balance. You can have great empathy where it is you understand what made them. Yeah. But just because you understand the abhorrent situation and generational chaos and generational unhealthy things doesn't mean it's not an excuse for still making a choice to do those things. Because just as many cases as there are like this, there's just as many cases of people that are able to escape that as well because they're making choices. Because the law still is the law. You can't do this. There is no excuse. And because, I mean, just look at the case we're facing with the mom in the Northeast, you know, with battling because the level of trying to get someone to be able to claim insanity for their actions is so high because it still comes down to, do they know the difference between right and wrong?
Yeah.
Yes. And no matter what excuse you want to make, well, I'm in poverty, I'm on drugs, I'm on meth, whatever it is, you're still making a choice to do abhorrent things to your children and raise them in the way that you didn't need to raise them. So they're making a choice to keep their kids locked in a house with no exposure outside and not clean up, not even sweep the crap out of there. I mean, just that's all a choice, 100% choice.
I see a question in the comments, and it's the one part of the question I wanted to ask on that same thing. What do you think about the mother knowing about the relationship? At some point, the parents signed off on their 15-year-old pregnant daughter marrying, you know, Dumble Bumblefuck over here. You know, it's what do I think? I mean, I think it's abhorrent. I think the parents of Siders failed them horrendously. Of Elizabeth failed her horrendously. The bullshit of, well, it's, you know, it is generational. It is. I mean, I get it. I mean, there's that part of the world where it's almost like a third world, the hills have eyes type country. And we seem to like be okay with that as a society. Well, it's just how they've always done things. Maybe they shouldn't. Maybe, you know, if they're reproducing, there's new people coming in here. It's not just like older generations that are from some other place in time. Isn't this neat? We're going in and viewing living history. No, they keep reproducing. And then these children are being tortured and going through absolute hell in Appalachia. And we're just like, well, to each their own. It's their culture. It's how they're doing shit. Yeah, maybe they shouldn't. Maybe we're a better society than that. Maybe we should be stepping in and going, yeah, you know, no more of this, or you can't have, I mean, I don't know. I mean, what is your take?
Yeah, I definitely agree that there's a lot of generational stupid going on here, but at the same time, again, the stats on this are pretty solid. Also, they were able to confirm that she indeed is the mother of those kids. But they haven't done genetic coding. Now they put a gag order that we won't know until the trial who's the father. That I think we're going to see a wild ride potentially.
I did too, and
I think that's why a lot of this is silence. Remember, people go into isolation because of fear of exposure. If you're just raising, I mean, think about this. If you are, again, I've read 2, 3, 4 books on this, plus my own research on the side. I mean, if you are raising a family, you're impoverished, you are food insecure, there are programs for that if you have 16 kids. You know, it's doable without going into isolation. You know, that is a choice. Going into isolation and hiding things is a choice. And, you know, and there's a reason why you don't want to. And so that's where the wobble exists. So, because you can look across a wide swath of people that are living below the poverty level and not see this. And so the reason why this gets the attention, because there's a wobble, because they're making an intentional choice to hide something that their fear of exposure of, what is that? And that's where I think we're going to see coming out in this trial.
You know... You know, you said food insecure. I hate politically incorrect terms. they're starving is what they are.
Sure.
And you know, like not how they had a home. They're not housing insecure, whatever the hell people call it. They were living in squalor and they were starving their children. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. It wasn't food insecure. I feel like when we whitewash shit so much, and I'm not, this is not a dig on you by any means. I'm just saying, like, people, the society in general, how we talk about shit, where it's like, it feels like, I don't think the impact is made with people that could make choices to step in and do something. Cause it's like, oh, you're food insecure. Well, that means there's just a pantry down the road or you can get this, like, they're starving. Let's put it that way. The dumb fuck parents decided not to feed the kids and lock them in a room. Mm-hmm. That's not food insecure.
Right.
That's depraved starvation of 100%. Human beings. That's a concentration camp, basically.
Yep.
I feel like it's such a disservice on cases like this when the shit is played down to be politically correct. I fucking hate it. I hate that, you know, like we have to do that with YouTube too and some things. But do you think that makes people not fully understand the dark level that some people in our society live in, the dark world that they encounter every single day because we've chosen safer words now to use for the last 10, 20 years than what reality actually is? So if they're not seeing it daily, they're like, holy shit. I remember like going to like Jackson, Mississippi for the first time. Holy fucking shit. It's a third world country. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know it was that bad. I didn't know how bad half of the South was. It's like a third world country because they didn't see it every day. But it's phrased in ways to the rest of society that doesn't see it on a daily basis as, oh, it's, you know, it's this or it's that. And it's kind of, you know, colloquialism. And it's just, you know, isn't this dandy? Like, no, it's a fucking squalor. It's disgusting. It's horrible. And people are dying and being abused. But that's not as cute as saying, hey, stop on over to get some Mayha jelly at the stand on the side of the road.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of reasons why the phraseology in there, I see it a lot on shows we see on TV, watching the news, and just in everyday life where we don't want to shame people for choices that aren't theirs. And so we pick nicer words so there's no shame in there. And also, I see this predominantly, we probably see it more, Tony, because we cover cases like this, where everyone, so the general population, or a lot of the
quaint,
population, not
yes.
the general, right, they think everyone is savable.
Yeah.
No, there's really some people out there that are just really an important bucket of goo that are not savable because they're genetically and biologically just so broken and so sadistic and so self-serving and all these things that go in there that they're just making horrendous choices and they are not savable. They need to be behind bars. They need to have kids taken away from them, but not put into a system that's already broken. So it's just so many broken things in this thing.
Yeah.
But yes, people use a softer language to make themselves feel better, to not shame people because they don't want to shame people because if you just don't shame people, they won't make bad choices.
That's not how it works.
I know it's not how it works. And we know it's not how it works because we cover a lot of, I mean, just look at, you know, we just covered David. DVD, you know, he's made choices he's an abhorrent, sadistic human being.
I feel like when we, I mean, like, I'm not about, like, let's go bully and shame people, but like, to make it, like, life, like, abhorrent choices to be a lifestyle choice is not helping anyone. You know, I mean, and I get, like, probably Elizabeth and, you know, her sperm donor that she called her husband or whatever the hell he was, you know, was also, you know, they were brought up with these monsters. Mm-hmm. So, but then probably entered somewhat of a society that says, oh, isn't that quaint? Isn't this is how the Appalachian lifestyle is. This is who we are. These are our people. This is what, like, yeah, you should have some shame there because this is disgusting. And this is not, there's nothing good about this.
No, I mean, do something about it.
Something should be done so people don't have to continue to live in the abhorrent conditions. I can guarantee the first generations that lived in the abhorrent conditions weren't like, gee, I hope my great-great-great-grandchildren keep this tradition going. I'm sure they were like, I hope for something better. And at some point, the generations are like, this is what we do. It's like, no, it shouldn't be. This isn't good. This isn't healthy. This isn't helpful to anyone. This is disgusting for your poor children who are coming up. And shame is a motivating factor that can sometimes move things along. But I just wonder how much we've just normalized as it's a lifestyle choice. Like people who live under the bridge, like it's somehow like they're a fucking protected species or some sort of shit. Like, no, they're mentally ill and they need help. It's probably a addiction and they need help. They're not fucking there because they're having a jolly old time and homelessness is a fun fucking thing for them. But right. we end up protecting ourselves by giving different words to shit rather than dealing with what reality actually is.
And even on this case too, there's so many choices that weren't made that could have been made. So say you were starving.
Yeah.
And not just food insecure, starving. So the school systems itself, so why did they keep their kids out of school then? I mean, my wife's a teacher, you know, your wife, same thing. You know, there are school lunch programs at least to try to provide nutrition for kids throughout the school year, even during the summers. I mean, they do big pushes where I live for this as well. There are so many programs out there for all the excuses that people are making for them because of their poverty. No, there's actually things that actually could have helped. If they made a choice to not try to hide from the system because they're hiding something really, again, our word of the day, abhorrent, and criminal and disgusting. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it blows my mind. I mean, I do wonder about how much of that way of thinking just continues to enable this kind of life.
You know, and this goes to such a thing we cover so much, you know, on all it takes is to solve so many problems throughout our country and throughout the world of all the money we pour into for the Band-Aids that we're putting on all these things later in life, and just the money in the court systems alone. If you just put some really basic grassroots, hit them when they're very, very young programs in place to save kids, teach good, healthy relationships and behaviors, and get them out of the generational stupid and unhealthy things, we could save the world. Things. Anyway.
It would help if we start putting some, you know, basic common sense laws in place, like no more teenage, like under 18 marriages. I know some places have them. A lot of them don't. A lot of them still are like, well, a parent can sign up. How about we just across the board as a society go, you know, if you're under 18, you probably should be getting married.
Right. No,
period.
No kids getting married. And
don't care. Yeah. Don't,
it goes
don't care about your religion, your culture, your bullshit, your great grandma, your peepaw, your dumb bumblefuck uncle, whatever the fuck it is.
Dumb bumble.
Just no, we're just not doing that. Well, my great peepaw and grandma got married at 16 back in 1999.
Or the Epsteins of the Epsteins of the world saying, well, you know, back during the Middle Ages, you know, this is an acceptable age for someone to marry. And I'm like,
Well, like in some of this shit, it's like bad, like they got married in the late 90s and we're already to the grandchildren. I'm like, how the fuck does that happen? Oh, you start having kids at 13. So you could have the grandkids right now doing that. And it's just repeating itself. Well, just fucking stop. How'd that work out well for all you? Not at all, did it? Oh, you're all living in poverty and it's horrible and everybody's making absolute shit choices because they're just repeating the cycle because they don't have more than a sixth grade education. Maybe it's time to say stop. Maybe, just maybe, if we actually truly give a shit about other human beings, which I don't think we actually do as a society. I think it's more so we care about ourselves and not wanting to feel icky. So we don't go down these roads and let everybody live, let live, and what the fuck.
And mental health issues as well, obviously.
Q Brooks and Dunn, only in America. All right. That's going to wrap up the program for today. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. I'm glad we solved the world's problems and everyone will follow these directives and the world will be better. It won't. Okay. We'll see your thoughts there and we'll continue our conversations there. Until next time, for Todd, for Robin, I'm Tony. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something, but I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too. Because where you get your information matters.